So last week we looked at that he says we have this treasure in jars of clay, and we talked about the clay, and it was a basic clay. It wasn't something pretty. It was just a basic everyday jar that was used. And that's an image of us. We're not, there's nothing special or unique about us in the sense of what we can bring to God. What makes us special and unique is that God lives in us, and he uses imperfect people to accomplish godly tasks. We do this even though we go through hardships and trials in life. And of course, the salvation that we have is all because of Jesus, and that's why we're here Sunday, Wednesday, and any time the church meets, and why we live our lives to please him is because of Jesus. And so now Paul strikes into what I would consider is a confident faith. Paul is giving us, I think, a window into his own soul when he writes these words. And let's look at what Paul says today. First of all, he says our faith will be victorious in verses 13 and 14. And he begins with simple belief. Now listen to what he says. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. Now the question is, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the Psalm 116:10, which says, and the unknown psalmist writes, I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. So the Apostle Paul is going to connect this text to what he just said about suffering and hardships and trials and how all of this comes together. The Apostle Paul is connecting it even to the Old Testament writers who, even when they spoke, they realized that they were speaking for God, but also in affliction, they still spoke for God. And he uses the word here, faith, pistis in the Greek, which means complete trust. So what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that when he spoke and when he suffered, he did it with complete trust in Jesus Christ. And that is our big challenge today. He says here, I believe, and that word also means trust. And then he follows up by saying this. After quoting Psalm 116, verse 10, he follows up with this. We also believe and we also spoke. I want to remind us this morning, and we'll get into this a little bit later as the sermon develops, but I want us to be reminded of the fact that suffering and our faith will go hand in hand. You cannot get very far in the Christian life without experiencing some type of hardship, trial, or pain. But the good news is our faith will be victorious because we know the one who we have believed. It's Jesus Christ. I like what David Garland said in his commentary. For Paul, the gospel is not some abstract theory that can be accepted and hidden away in the heart. It requires proclamation, and proclaiming it to a hostile world is perilous. Here is the issue. Even though the Apostle Paul was experiencing hardships and trials, the more he experienced the hardship and trials, the more the Apostle Paul shared the gospel. And if you watch news today and you watch television, you can see that there's persecution against our brothers and sisters around the world. And yet, the Apostle Paul writes very confidently here that we're going to share the gospel in the midst of all of this anyway. And there's your faith in action. I remember a senior in one of my first churches. I had gone to visit her, and we were talking about evangelism, and she looked right at me and she said, I do not share the gospel. And I said, you don't share the gospel? And she said, no, that's a private thing to me. Well, the gospel is private in the sense that when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is a very private, personal issue between you and Christ. But brothers and sisters, let me remind us this morning, the gospel is to be shared, not hidden. Many illustrations that Jesus used. Who would light a candle and stick it under the table so it couldn't be seen? No, we have the light of the gospel in our hearts that should come out. We should tell the world. We should be willing to share the gospel because this world is in such darkness and such despair and such distress. So much sin in this world and what we have to deal with in life. I don't know how unbelievers make it through life without Jesus Christ. They just kind of go from one thing to the next, from one thing to the next, from one thing to the next. They find this latest fad. They do this. What are they looking for? They are looking for Jesus. And where do they find Jesus? They're not coming to the church. They're not going to walk in off the streets and come to the church. Where they're going to see Jesus is in you. And when you show them Jesus, you are showing them a vessel that is imperfect. The Apostle Paul told us that last week. We make mistakes, we sin, we stumble, we struggle, but yet when we live our lives and give glory to God, somehow the world goes, hey, wait a minute. What's different about you? And we're able to share the gospel. He goes on and he talks about this confidence, knowing that. And Paul uses the word knowing that very confidently. It's like he says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Parestima is the Greek word for presence. Parestima. That may not mean much to you, but it means something to me because it means to come in the front of someone or to be in front of someone. Listen, do you know, and it's hard to visualize this when we're living in this life, but did you know that someday when you breathe your last breath here, you are going to be ushered in to the very presence of Jesus Christ. This would be like standing before your best friend and looking at your best friend face to face. The Apostle Paul says, knowing that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he will bring us together in Christ's presence. This is not a just live as you will and then you die and you go nowhere. Brothers and sisters, we believe in Jesus Christ. He lives in us in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we live our lives, there's an expectation that someday I am going to meet the author of my faith face to face. That we will stand before the glorious Lord of creation and we will see him in all of his radiance and all of his glory. Now the question is, how did that come about? Well, he tells us. It was this event. This event sealed the fate of every believer. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but on the third day he was raised from the dead. And just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, so too we will be raised from the dead by the power of Jesus Christ, and we will come into the presence of our Lord and Savior at that instant. There's no waiting period. We go to be with him. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All that should give us. Our faith, brothers and sisters, is going to be victorious. There's a day when we will meet Jesus, the one who had the nails driven through his hands and through his feet and who had the crown of thorns and who was raised from the dead. There's coming a day when we're going to stand in front of him. Wow. And 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God raised the Lord, will also raise you up by his power. Hallelujah. Therein lies our victory. The victory is not in the defeats that we experience in this world. The victory is when we leave this world and we stand gloriously in the presence of Jesus Christ and he wraps his arms around us and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then we are in his presence forevermore. Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. This world has nothing to offer except unfulfilled hope. To live without God in this world is to live without Him for eternity. To live without God in this world is to live for the temporal. To live with God in this world is to live for the eternal. Wow. Our faith will be victorious. It will bring glory to God. Verse 4:15. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people. I don't know what this is. I mean, on one end, I want to pray for Christian persecution. And on the other end, I don't like Christian persecution because it hurts our fellow believers. But there is something to persecution. Do you know whenever there is persecution, the church grows the most? When you look at the New Testament, whenever the church was persecuted, and the Bible says, and they added to their number daily those being saved, 3,000. So whenever persecution takes place, the gospel seems to expand to more and more people. That's exactly what Paul's saying. When the Apostle Paul was being persecuted, he said, it's not just for us. We can endure this because we know that our faith will be victorious. What we want to do in our lives is to bring glory to God. And recent surveys. Each month, this is each month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. Each month, that's not a year. 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed each month. 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians, such as beatings, abductions, rapes, arrest, forced marriages. You know what, brothers and sisters? We are so disconnected from this because we live in such a safe country. But this is happening. But let me tell you what else is happening. Today, right now, right here, this is what's happening. In China, conversions. In light of the persecution that's taking place, this is the population growth, here's the Christian growth. Nepal, look at the growth rate. All these places, Singapore, Bhutan, Mongolia, Cambodia, Nepal, they are all experiencing growth in the gospel. The more the church is persecuted, the more the power of God takes over and brings people to saving faith. It would not surprise me someday, will not surprise me someday, if China becomes a leading center for missionary activity. Because wherever God is persecuted, God is stronger. And when the church experiences persecution, and these churches have to be underground, kept secret, I am praying for someday, in light of the persecution, that to the glory of God, these churches will come out of hiding and be able to share the gospel freely. God is not a totalitarian dictator. He is one who frees from totalitarian rule of Satan. So the issue here is grace, which is charis, that is God's unmerited, undeserved, unlimited favor. When you think about grace, think about this, you don't deserve it. And it's not because I am such a pretty vessel that I can go before God and say, look at what I can offer you. It's that I'm a broken vessel that's cracked and flawed, and I go to God, and somehow, miraculously, the grace of God, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God is poured into me. Guess what? It's poured into you, too. I want you to realize how valuable you are today and how important you are to God. So keep it in mind, when we look at our brothers and sisters that are struggling, there's also a byproduct, and the byproduct is the more Christians are persecuted, the more the power of God begins to save people. I don't know why that is, but it happens. Statistically, it happens. The church is growing. So what's the purpose? If persecution brings grace and salvation and growth, what is the purpose? That it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Eucharistia. Eucharistia is the word thanksgiving. That means to express gratitude to God. But notice here he says it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Let me remind us this morning that everything that we do in our lives is to bring glory to God. None of us, no matter how wonderful we are, no matter how many things we do for the Lord Jesus Christ and how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate glory, the ultimate thing in our Christian life is to bring glory to God and not to me. So when you hit the floor tomorrow morning and you begin to live your life for the day, I want you to remember your primary purpose is to bring glory to God. Sometimes that means bringing glory to God in our suffering, affliction, hardships, and trials. Sometimes that means bringing glory to God in our joy, in our jubilance, and the happy times. But those two will be mixed, and you can't separate them out. They are just part of the package. But at the end of the day, and when the dust settles, the goal of the Christian life is to bring glory to God and to bring glory to God alone. I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Hang in there. And this is what I want us to do, not just here, but in our lives. I want us to worship Him. Worship through thanksgiving. How many of you have so many things to be thankful for this morning? Yeah. It's hard to be thankful when trials come, but I do know that trials perfect our faith. They make us more like Jesus. And so in that, we can give thanks and glory to God. But we have so much to be thankful for. So much. The fact that you're here this morning, praise God. The fact that you woke up this morning, praise God. The fact that you have kids and grandkids and homes and cars and finances, praise God. And you do know that's all His. That's not ours. That belongs to Him. So the goal of the Christian life, this it just shouldn't be just church on Sunday morning. This should be our lives every day. When somebody asks us what's going on in our lives and, you know, why are you able to do this? Because I praise God for what I'm going through. And that makes the world sit back and go, whoa. How can you praise God in this tough time? Then you can come to verses like this and share them. Talk about how God pours out His Holy Spirit into your heart and how He saved you and most salvations are not miraculous. You know, I was on 15 different types of drugs and God saved me out of it. That's not the normal. The normal is I'm a good person, but I'm going to hell because I have rejected Jesus Christ. That's the normal way, is that somebody shares with you the gospel and you get saved based on what you see in them. Most of the time when you share the gospel, it is a reflection of your faith. And as we live our lives, if we just simply praise God, even when it hurts, it will bring glory to Him. You know what? This may seem like a small little thing, but you know God inhabits the praise of His people. When was the last time you just drove in the car and was just praising God? Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Not, will you give me this? Will you give me that? But just thank you for what I do have. Thank you for what you've done in my heart. Thank you that someday I'm going to stand in your presence, and it's not because of how good I am, it's because of how great Jesus was. And just sit there, go home today, maybe make a list, just things that you can praise God for. Write them down. You'll see you have a lot to praise God for. A lot. So Paul says, okay, live by faith. I know everybody within the sound of my voice this morning. I've been your pastor 9 years. You know this for a fact, that we do not live the Christian life apart from faith, and therefore the walk of faith is different than just doing. It's doing coupled with faith, and sometimes God calls us to do things that takes more faith than normal. But ultimately, the Christian life is lived by faith. Now, notice what he says when he talks about renewal. So we do not lose heart. Actually, four words are one in the Greek. Do not lose heart. And what it means is, literally, to lose one's motivation to accomplish a goal. Has life ever beat you down to the point where you just want to quit? Where you think, Lord, I cannot take another step. I cannot go another moment because life is so hard. And there are times when you just want to quit. I bet you Paul felt that way too. Whatever his condition was in Galatians, he wrote, see what I write with big letters. I prayed to God 3 times. He wouldn't remove it. And I think maybe the Apostle Paul came to the conclusion that God gave me this. He's going to use it for his glory. At some point, you have to come to the realization that whatever is happening in your life, God is going to use it to bring glory to himself. And so there, you do not lose heart. You do not lose sight or the motivation for living. Satan wants us to be unmotivated to live for God in a hostile world. That's his ticket. He wants to put in your heart to quit, to give up, to just be satisfied with your salvation, ride this thing out to the end. Satan knows he can't take your salvation, but he wants to hinder what you can do with that salvation in a world that is in darkness. And so he wants to take that from us. He wants to take the Christian motivation for living. And Paul says here, do not lose heart. I love what the great Vince Lombardi, coach of the Green Bay Packers and later the Washington Redskins, this is what he said. The difference between a successful person and others is not lack of strength, it is not lack of knowledge, but rather in lack of will. In other words, when Satan gets to the will and we do not have the desire to go forward and we do not can't go on and we lose heart, we don't see an out to this, we don't see any way that we can continue. And when we get to that point, Satan has us right where he wants us. Not that he can take our salvation, but he's taken our will and he started to just make us not usable. But Vince Lombardi is right on the mark here. It is the will that is important, that you keep going and you keep pressing forward and you keep moving on, because our faith will be victorious and it brings glory to God. We stay the course. We keep moving on. I love this next quote. This is awesome. Never give up. Go over, go under, go around, go through, but never, ever, ever give up. Never quit. The Holy Spirit and the power of God lives in you. You are victorious. You are going to end this ride in the presence of Jesus Christ. So live for Him. Be victorious. Fight the good fight. Finish the faith. Keep moving forward. Never quit. Never back down. When you get up tomorrow morning, you say, I know there are things against me. I know things are not going well, but I'm going to keep pushing forward because Jesus is in me and greater that is in me than he that is in this world. And we keep fighting, keep pushing, keep moving forward, because I'm telling you, your victory is ahead. Your victory is ahead. Never give up. I guess you can tell I really believe this, because I know personally it's really easy to want to quit. it's easier to quit than it is to go on. We used to have a saying in the Army. If it doesn't hurt you, it's not making you stronger. I used to yell that when I was leading PT for the formation and guys were wanting to drop out, and I said, just keep moving forward. It's supposed to hurt. But Sergeant Frazier, we can't. I said, keep moving. It's supposed to hurt. That's how you get stronger. That's how you move on. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. It's supposed to hurt, but you keep moving forward because the one that lives in you is greater than he that lives in the world. You got to claim that. I'm not talking about health and wealth prosperity. I'm talking about how you deal with tomorrow morning. I'm not talking about the God who's going to give you all kinds of stuff, because he may not. What he wants is he wants faithful people to push forward and to keep moving. And you know what? I think then we can understand a little bit of what Jesus did when he carried his own cross. The goal, obviously, the ultimate goal, the umbrella goal, the big goal, is to bring glory to God. But the secondary goal is to keep believing in God that he will take care of us even through the trenches and the hardships. This renewal process continues. Notice he says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed. Anakeno, renewed. You know what that word means? It means to make new every day. To make new day by day. This is what it looks like practically for us. The outward man that we look at in the mirror every day is changing. I don't care how many facelifts or tummy tucks you have in this life. Eventually, that outward man is going to start showing signs of slippage. Right? You liked that, didn't you, Wade? But the inward man, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And I've seen people in their 70s and 80s that are vigorous for Jesus. Why is that? The outward man is fading, but the inward man is being renewed by the Holy Spirit. This is not about what we see. This is about the inward and the eternal. Your renewal process is day by day. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Here is the good news. You may be wasting away outwardly, and you may be showing signs of wear and tear in this life, but inwardly, God is renewing your spiritual side day by day. Why does he need to do that? Why does God need to renew us day by day? It's so that we can press on when the outward man and the problems of the outward life begin to pull us down. God renews us, gives us a spirit that we're able to keep pushing forward. How many of you have experienced that? Where you know that God is giving you strength to go through situations and hardships and trials, and you just keep pushing forward? That's because your inward man's being renewed day by day. That's the renewal. The reward, 17 and 18. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. You could say beyond all human comprehension. If you were to draw your best picture of heaven, it would be like that compared to what it's really going to be like. I know we talk about the 3Ds and the high definition movies and stuff like that. Ooh, that's awesome. Ooh. But I tell you what, when you stand before Jesus Christ, oh my gosh, that's awesome. It's going to be like totally out there. It's going to be like stuff that we cannot possibly comprehend because our minds are just so small and God is so big. And so when we get to heaven, we're going to be just blown away. And we see Him. You notice what He says here? For the light and momentary affliction. Light and momentary affliction. This is the other thing I want you to be reminded about affliction, is that it's temporary. It does not last forever. Stuff that you're going through today, tomorrow, next day, maybe physical, emotional, spiritual, any type of problem that you're going through, it is momentary. To us, it seems like a long time, but it's really short. I'm trying to help you understand that you press on. That you keep going forward. You don't quit. That this is, I have to acknowledge it does hurt. It does hurt. But I'm going to tell you as your pastor, it will pass. I know for a fact it will pass. Some pass sooner and some pass later, but it will pass. You may be in a valley now, but you'll be on the mountaintop before long. I heard a theologian once say, all sun and no rain makes a desert. You got to get rained on every once in a while before you can grow. Here's what we're looking at. This world versus eternity. Christians too, unfortunately, get caught up in this. We focus here a lot when our eyes should be focused on the eternal. Got to have this, got to have this, got to have this, got to have this. Maybe that's some of the source of our affliction, I don't know. But he says here, the weight of eternal glory. And notice what he says as he finishes. As we look, please look at this, verse 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is how we should shift our focus. As we live this life, seek things above, not things below, Colossians, Paul writes. Warren Wiersbe, a man I have a lot of respect for, wrote this: the things of this world seem real because we can see them and feel them. But they are temporal and destined to pass away. Only eternal things of the spiritual life will last. For the most part, don't look at what's temporal. Look at what's eternal.